Dan, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. For whatever reason, technical trouble in the house. I will not be silenced. And so if you heard me and I sounded funny, that's what was going on. So where was I? Let me tell you. So I want to get into this Ninth Circuit Court decision on Trump's executive order. Because everybody far and wide is so excited. Well, far and wide being the libs, of course. The left is ecstatic. President Trump has been stopped, has been halted. I'm going to give you my opinion on this. I'm going to tell you exactly what Trump needs to do. It's not what all the people in the know, all the talking heads, and not even some of the people on the right. In fact, I have very different advice to Trump than what you're hearing. And I will tell you that in a few minutes. Now, it couldn't have been more perfect, and this event had been planned for months now, and it just happens to coincide on the week that the federal courts are in the news, right? They're relevant. They're probably, we haven't heard this much Supreme Court talk since the Obamacare decision, if you remember that. So it's been a few years. The Supreme Court, the federal courts, they're all in play right now. They're getting involved in politics. And it so happens that I had this thing today planned at Chapman University where I met with Justice Alito from the Supreme Court and heard a presentation that he gave over lunch to a group of us there. Now, I'm an alum of both the law school and of the college at Chapman University. And so I was invited to this event. And you've got, a room full of lawyers and a room full of decision makers and people who are in the know and political types and such who are all sitting there. Now, we've got a Supreme Court justice in the room. And we're looking at him. And what does everybody want to know, right? The question on everybody's mind is, tell us what you think. What's going to happen? What's the skinny on what the Supreme Court is going to do on this case? And of course, he can't get into it. He doesn't want to get into it. But the first, before I even get to the Ninth Circuit and I get to the issue at hand, a couple of very interesting things about the court that struck me that I didn't know previously. Because the Supreme Court is an institution that's steeped in tradition. You've got nine justices. And these nine justices, right, they range from very conservative to very liberal. And you can imagine, they get into some pretty heated arguments. And certainly they get into heated disagreements. And so one thing that Justice Alito talked about today, he said, we do a number of things to try to, to reduce any tension that would arise from our very heated and disparate political views or legal opinions on these cases. And so one of those things is that when one of the justices, this is interesting because what do these guys do? What do these people do when they're in office? When they have a birthday, there's a tradition that all of the justices will sing happy birthday to the justice whose birthday it is. And one thing he says really sad, they sing to the justices, and it's a big tradition. Many of them are friends. Justice Scalia was the biggest singer. This is what I was going to get at. So Scalia, and he passed away a year ago. About a year ago right now. But he was the one who had the best voice. He was an Italian guy, big voice, big heart. So he's always characterized as this guy who was very, very, nasty, conservative guy, always asked a lot of really tough questions. But in fact, he was the guy on the court who had privately and personally the biggest heart. And he also was really close with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who's the most liberal justice. Picture two people who could not be more opposed in their legal opinions. And they oftentimes would write dissenting opinions. They would one would write the opinion for the winning side and one would write the opinion for the losing side, and they would be totally against each other. but privately they were really close. And they had tickets to the opera together, and they'd go to the opera. So I thought that was kind of interesting. You know that Alito went to Yale Law School, and he was there with two very well-known people were in his class his same year. And do you know who that – well, one – I'll give you a clue. One of them is a president, and one of them almost was a president. Yeah, Bill and Hillary Clinton. He went to law school with them, and he didn't know Hillary. Now, let me tell you, this is funny. He didn't know Hillary, but he didn't know Bill, but he had heard of Bill. And people would say, oh, yeah, that Bill Clinton guy, he's from Arkansas, and he's going to get elected to a very important office someday. I mean, he's going to hold political office. There's no question about it. So funny side note. Now, he also went to law school with Clarence Thomas. And he's also, as you know, a justice on the Supreme Court. And Clarence Thomas is very conservative. You know, he had a bruising a confirmation back when Bush tried to put him on the court. But the funniest thing is a very intimidating guy in law school. And here's why. He was always working out. He was really buff. And he would go to school. Picture this. Clarence Thomas. He'd go to school wearing overalls and no shirt underneath. And he was this big, bulky guy, you know, with giant muscles. And he'd be like throwing a football with some people out in front of the law school. But, you know, giant guns, you know, and overalls. I don't know if they were Oshkosh or whatnot. But so some funny side stories. So how do these justices decide cases? Because this is what's going to happen. I mean, this whole executive order thing is headed to the Supreme Court. When you have a case brought to federal court, it starts at a district level court. Those are the trial courts. So if you have a gripe with the federal government, if you think that Donald Trump is being a mean, nasty, you know whatsie, what you do, and you know, if all snowflakes need to apply, they find a nice liberal court somewhere in the districts, right? So in this case, they found a liberal judge, right? They found that Robart guy in Seattle, and they went to him because he was a liberal judge, and because any decision that he makes, if it's appealed, it goes to the circuit that he's in, which in this case is the Ninth Circuit. You've heard a lot about it. I'm just explaining to you where it all fits. Because the Ninth Circuit hears, you know, any if there's a dispute, if there's an appeal to a lower court decision, right, that happens in the district court, and it could be here in L.A., it could be Orange County, it could be up in Seattle, wherever it is. The Ninth District is huge. I think it's from Washington State all the way over to Arizona and beyond. So it's huge. And that district then goes up to the Ninth Circuit. And the Ninth Circuit is so liberal. It's so liberal. And I'll get more into that in a minute. But they're known for being wacky. They call it the Ninth Circus. So if the Ninth Circus decision gets appealed, and it surely will here, okay, it will. And Trump ought to do it. And I'll tell you why in a minute. If and when it gets appealed, it then gets appealed straight to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court can decide to hear it or can decide to send it back or decide not to hear it at all and to just, you know, just not listen to it, in which case the lower court decision stands. Now, if it gets to the Supreme Court, cases that get to the Supreme Court, do you know how they figure this out? When they hear the case, they listen to the arguments that the lawyers bring, and they read the briefs, the papers that are sent to the court, and then they talk about it. And there's no assistants in the room. There are no lawyers that help the court, clerks, they're called clerks. There are no clerks in the room. It's just the nine justices of the Supreme Court. And they start, what happens is if there's an argument, like, well, we've got this executive order, and the lower courts say, no go, can't do it. When they start going through it, the Chief Justice takes about 5 minutes or less to give his opinion and his overview of the case. And then he, which in this case is Justice Roberts, then he will call on the most senior justice, who in this case is Anthony Kennedy, and he'll go all the way down the list to the most junior. And each will take a turn. And nobody interjects. Nobody's allowed to cut in. Everybody gets their turn to give their opinion, and they keep kind of going around in that circle. And sometimes they leave, and if it's complicated, they take a poll and see who's on what side. But it was a very interesting thing for me, because in this environment where we're all yelling at each other on Facebook, right, and on Twitter and on TV, and you can't have a normal conversation with anybody about anything, these are people who are super smart. Who are absolutely could, in many cases, right? If you take someone like, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and then Samuel Alito, who I saw today, you could not get people who are more opposite in their worldview, in their political view, and even in their jurisprudence view. And yet, they are able to sit around a table and have a polite and respectful conversation, because there's a tradition there, there's respect, and also this is what happens when you have intelligent, sophisticated people sitting at a table, and not all these crazies from Berkeley smashing windows. All right, so that's how these decisions happen, and that is what's going to happen when this decision hits the court. Now, I'll tell you more about kind of what Alito today said, because there's some great pearls here, but I want to get into here in the final minutes here of the segment. I want to get into what it is, what this Ninth Circuit decision is all about. Okay, the idea here, the problem that the courts are saying Trump has with his executive order, is that foreign nationals who have never stepped foot in the United States are having their due process rights violated, meaning that the Constitution applies to people who are not American, who do not have any kind of existing, let's say, a green card, who have never been in the United States, who are refugees who are applying to come to the United States. And by in this theory, any person in the world has standing to sue under the U.S. Constitution. This is insane. You have to understand how crazy this is. So that's issue number one in front of the court. And then the second issue that they're banging about is this whole thing with the Establishment Clause. Well, there's this thing in here that says that, in the executive order, right, that we're going to maybe allow in only certain types of refugees that, may or may not be part of the dominant religion of the country, right? So that's the second issue, right? That part of the executive order that says we're only going to be maybe opening the door here for some Christian minority groups in these countries. And they're saying, because there's nothing in the Constitution that says you can't discriminate against a religion. You just say the Constitution says that you cannot establish one religion over another as being the religion of the United States. And there can't be a religious test for office holders and the like. Well, that's not what it is here. And so finally, the last issue that's kind of is the whole idea of discriminating against a religious group. Which again, they don't. These are outside people that aren't U.S. citizens, that aren't here. They're not on U.S. soil. They don't have constitutional rights. And incidentally, the Obama administration, you libs, you want to get frustrated at anybody. Obama has been arguing. He argued, him and his lawyers in the Justice Department argued this exact legal argument for 8 years straight. Every time there was a strike against it, he killed Americans abroad and made this argument successfully in court that, hey, it's a terrorist. I've got the Constitution doesn't apply. And where were you when he made those arguments? Were you chasing down every congressman, showing up by the hundreds at these town hall meetings and shouting them down? Probably not. So this is kind of the state of the executive order. And I'll tell you what Trump needs to do. He absolutely should not withdraw the executive order. He needs to take it to the Supreme Court. Because, and this is interesting, I heard, well, I'll get into it. I'll tell you some of the statistics on the Ninth Circuit, but I will tell you, it's right now, suffice it to say, the chances for this getting overturned by the Supreme Court, I'd give it about 99%. It's going to go, I mean, there's just no way that the Supreme Court will uphold it, and he can't back down off of it, because all that would happen by rewriting it is the same lawyer from the same state will take it to the same crazy judge and go and get the same result, and then we're back to square one. Stand firm! All right, I'm going to unpackage this a little more when we get back. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
We don't fake news. We break news and make news. 790 KBC.
You know, I might have a bone to pick with John Wolfe. Thought I was number one in Orange County. I mean, come on. All right, well, we'll give it to Toyota just this once. Sam Rojofsky here, Sam Nation Talk Radio 790 KBC. Bottom of the hour, if you want to tell me what you think about these, the Ninth Circus, give me a call, 800-222-5222, 1-800-222-5222. So, look, here's where this is all going, and I'll tell you, by the way, of course the left is immediately calling for Trump to abandon and dump his executive order, to tear it up and to rewrite it. I heard the attorney general for the state of Washington or whatever it was who led the original lawsuit against Trump that got to Judge, what's his name, Robart. And that's what he was saying. Tear it up. It's time for the president to go back to the drawing board and just start over. And of course, that is what the left wants. So when I told you at the end of last segment that I said, look, you know, what Trump needs to do is plow ahead. If your enemy is telling you to do something, you probably don't want to do exactly what they want you to do, because what these guys want is they want Trump to start over, for them to find some technicality that they don't like, that they are sure they'll find another judge, if maybe not, maybe even the same judge. And again, the cycle will repeat all over again. And so Trump's agenda, the agenda that was a core principle, a campaign promise that he ran on, that I believe got him elected, would get stalled in the courts indefinitely. Not acceptable. But here's where I begin to get dismayed. And folks, I'll tell you, this is real stuff, because Trump is getting it from all ends. There's a guy, James Pearson. He's a conservative commentator. He's a kind of a think tank guy. But he wrote a piece. Where was it today? Was it a New Criterion? But it's been sent all over the blogosphere. The president should withdraw his executive order. Now, I'll read you the relevant part of this that just got my goose. President Trump, now this is Mr. Pearson writing, should withdraw. And it's like, this guy's a conservative. Ms. Trump should withdraw his executive order suspending refugee admissions into the United States, blah, 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 blah. It seems clear now that pursuing the case through the courts is a fool's errand that will not only end in defeat, but also in a judicial decision that may tie the president's hands. Now, he then goes on to acknowledge that the entire legal reasoning, you know, that was used both in the district court and in the appeals court is garbage. He acknowledges it. He says the executive order was entirely defensible and an appropriate exercise of the president's Article II powers. But it's gotten caught up in a frenzied overreaction. And here's my point with this. They're already giving up. These spineless, coward conservatives, and I know you can't see my air quotes, but I'm almost, you know, taking down the microphone here. My fingers up in the air. The spineless weaklings, mealy-mouthed, total losers. This guy is a total spineless loser. He just wants to walk right away from it. That's how you, is this how you get things done? You just drop it and run? Yeah, I wouldn't want this guy in my corner if we were the last two people on Earth. This is unbelievable. And this is what I'm hearing from so many different Republicans. You're hearing it too. You know, Trump, man, what he ought to do is just kind of drop this thing. You know, he just ought to drop it and just rewrite it. Clean it up, and then everything's going to be fine. The left is not going to stop. The only thing they have are these liberal, totally moronic judges who don't know anything in law school. I got, you know, Ashley, you can corroborate this. I'm looking at Ashley here through the glass. If a student in law school didn't know the law, what would he begin to argue to the law professor? What would he talk about? Policy. Exactly. You go to law school, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you are that stupid kid in class that didn't read the book, you talk about policy. And that is all these judges did. It is an embarrassment. It is silly. And when I come back, I'm going to tell you just how many times the district court, the appeals court, in this case, the Ninth Circuit, gets overturned. And it's going to shock you. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
Finally, some news from the Huffington Post that is worth discussing. Sam Rogowski here. You know, there's a article here about a taxi driver who made a very unusual excuse to the traffic cop when he got pulled over for speeding. Can you imagine what it was? Well, he said, "Officer, I'm speeding because my passenger over here is gassy. His farts are so stinky, they're filling up my cab, and I got to air him out." It didn't work. He still got the $173 ticket. And the Dorset traffic cops actually posted about it on Facebook. They were so, well, blown away, you could say, by this very creative excuse. Now, this can actually happen, though. In fairness to this cabbie, you know, you really, some people do have very toxic gas. In fact, did you know, I think we discussed it here on the program, that there are certain types of people that have flammable gas. So there's all sorts of personal injuries, in some cases very personal injuries, that can occur when you have that type of problem. I know it's sensitive, and this is where, and listen, this is where it gets serious. Some injuries are really personal, and you think, you know, who am I going to talk to about something that is uncomfortable to talk about, that might be embarrassing? And, you know, you think, I don't want to just call some random lawyer, some random guy or some lady that's going to, you know, I don't know. While you may not know Sweet James, you may not know Attorney James Bergner. We call him Sweet James because he's a good guy. But you do, because he's a friend of the program and he's who we trust. So give it, you know, it could be embarrassing. It could be uncomfortable, but give him a call. Talk to him. You know the number, 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. Sweet James Bergner, sweetjames.com. Give him a shout. Talk to him. All right. Now, we're talking about the Ninth Circus Court of Appeals, the heroes of the left. I know they wore robes, but now they're wearing capes. For our friends on the left, of course, capes. I'm wondering if they're pink, like meow meow capes. Don't know. We got to figure that out. But you know, an interesting story. I was at Chapman today. I was telling you earlier that I had met and had heard a talk from Justice Alito from the Supreme Court, and I had an opportunity afterwards to talk to a professor there. Who had clerked, he was a law professor, John Eastman. He was on Fox today, as a matter of fact, and made some of these points. But he made some points to me that I thought were actually better than what he was talking about on O'Reilly tonight. And I want to share this with you. Because Eastman, really smart guy, super recognized widely as a constitutional scholar. And he had clerked for Clarence Thomas, which means he spent a year working directly under Clarence Thomas. I don't know if he got sexually harassed. No word on that. But he worked for Clarence Thomas. And in that entire year that he was on the court, do you know how many cases they had heard on appeal from the Ninth Circuit? 28 cases in 1 year. So 28 cases got appealed from the Ninth Circuit up to the Supreme Court. Now, I'm going to ask you something. How many of those cases do you think were overruled by the Supreme Court? Well, I'm going to surprise you here. All 28 of them. And here's the real math that you need to pay attention to. Of those overruling, like they all got shut down, right? They all got like the kibosh, not a technical legal term, but you get what I'm saying. Of those 28 out of 28, no, you're wrong. You don't know what the hell you're talking about, Ninth Circus. How many of those were unanimous, where every single justice, even the liberal ones, agreed 100% to send them back to overturn them? 26 out of 28. It is an unbelievable number. So when your liberal friends tell you, oh, see, look at this, Trump got it right in the chin, amen, there, you got bull crap, okay? So nothing more than a stinky fart. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Talk Radio, 790
KABC.
You hear this thing about, what's her face? Rosie O'Donnell? Apparently she's going to be on SNL in character, dressed as Steve Bannon, right, who is a Trump senior advisor, the former CEO of Breitbart News, and whom many on the left are calling the shadow president. Well, speaking of shadows, Rosie and her 5 o'clock shadow here. I tell you, I'm looking at this picture of her. Did you guys see this? It honestly looks like Elton John and Boy George had a love child. Because, well, and then I drew a little, do you see I drew the goatee on? Now, Robbie, you said now he looks like, whoops. Now you say, yeah, Rosie, when I drew that goatee on, Cliff from Cheers, is that who you identified that? Oh, that's right. Now, so you're right. That's a good correction. If Rosie is identifying as a man, I have to go with his preferred pronoun, with the pronoun of his preferred gender. But is it, do I say, anyway, it's complicated. See, this, folks, we're getting all turned around with this gender bending stuff. But would I watch it? Of course I'll watch it. Probably going to be hilarious. But it doesn't make me like Rosie O'Donnell anymore. So that's that. I was just telling you about, just how incredibly farcical the Ninth Circuit is, and how now so many people are giving up, right? They're already telling Trump, throw in the towel, just give up on this executive order, go back to the drawing board, rewrite it, redo it, you know, because you're not going to win. You're not going to win in the Supreme Court. You've lost twice. And my point here is, yeah, you lost twice with a court that is wildly unpredictable, with a court that is known for making really bad decisions. There was a piece here, the Ninth Circuit gets it wrong. They get it wrong. What was it, 80% reversal rate at Supreme Court? 80% reversal rate. And then I told you what my professor from Chapman, John Eastman, said about how in the year that he was on the Supreme Court, 28 of the 28 cases they had, they reversed. So it was 100% reversal. And, 26 of those were by a majority, by all the justices, a unanimous vote, which doesn't happen very often on a divided court. So Here, actually, John Eastman was later, I saw him earlier today and then talked to him about this, and that's what he was telling me. But he also went on O'Reilly. And we got a clip here that I pulled. Eric Balling was sitting in for O'Reilly, and he says, you know, so now, you know, people are talking about this. Do you think it would end up being a 4-4 tie? By the way, do you know what happens when it's a 4-4 tie? When a case goes to the Supreme Court and it's a 4-4 tie? So basically the lower court decision stands. If you hit a tie, the Ninth Circuit decision stands, but it's not binding. And once they get another justice on the court who would maybe break that deadlock, the petitioner, the appellant is able to return back to the Supreme Court and have it reheard. So just an important point for you to know. No, so Eric Bowling says, yeah, do you think it would end up being a tie? I mean, you'll want to talk about this. There's going to be a tie. What do you think? And this is what Professor Eastman said.
I would hope not. I would hope it would be at least 6-2. And quite frankly, I hope it would be unanimous. The law is so patently clear here. The Supreme Court itself has said questions of who to admit into the United States or not is solely within the powers of the political branches, largely immune from judicial review. And the statute that gives the president authority here could not be more clear that the president has this authority. So I would hope that the Supreme Court would decide this unanimously and push back what, quite frankly, and I said in your other Guest magazine earlier today, or newspaper, I think this is a coup d'etat by the judiciary, unwilling and refusing to recognize the results of the election last November.
Bingo. That's what it is. Okay? They've smashed up Berkeley. They're shouting you down on Twitter and on Facebook. They're yelling at you at family gatherings. They're punching out people wearing Trump hats walking down the street. And what they have left, the only little bit of real power that the left has right now, is in the judiciary. In a few of these courts that are stacked, that are brimful, chock full of liberal lunatics. The law that Eastman is referring to here is the USC code that is the codified version of the Immigration Act of 1952. It's been talked about. Everybody's, you know, opining about it. But the basic thing you got to understand here, if the statute itself is unconstitutional, that's one thing. But if it isn't unconstitutional, in other words, if it's valid, then the president has, at least according to this law, 100% total authority to make decisions about who gets to come into this country and who doesn't. He literally could make it about any test, any way, anyhow. I mean, he could mandate that people do headstands in order to get a visa. You're literally, Trump could say, if you had to show up at, if you're from Uzbekistan and you want a visa, you got to show up at the U.S. embassy and stand on your head for 20 minutes. I'm being absurd, but it is to make a point. Plenary power, full and total authority. And yet none of these judges, none of these justices even went close to making a real argument based on the law. They're all political arguments. We call them policy arguments, but they're political arguments, and they are not for the judiciary to make. Justices and judges are to decide the law based on the law and not on anything else. I hate to sound like, you know, a basic B, but that's what it is. It's the law is based on the law. That's it. And so my final and last thought, I got just 1 minute. Let me tell you what it is. You know, I had a conversation with a lawyer today in my office who I respect very much. And he says, oh, tell me now, you think Trump, now Trump, I'll be honest with me. Trump's insane, right? I mean, you've got to know that. You're a smart guy. And I wouldn't give it to him. No. Trump's being 100% reasonable. He is doing things that I have wanted done and I've been screaming for the last 8 years. Hell, for the last 16 years. He's doing things that I want and that a lot of people out there want. And you know what? He's totally alone. He got no press behind him. He got no love from anybody. The Republicans hate him. He's done this. The Republican Party hates. Everybody is against. He's like a one-man band. And so the least I owe him is to stand up in these little circumstances that I, little interactions I have with people and say, no, he's not insane. You're insane. All right, go have a great weekend. Back next week. I'm going to miss you guys, but have fun. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Talk Radio, 790
KABC.